Welcome to T21 Mom.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the T21 Mom podcast. And this is episode 126. I'm Mary, mom to Ainsley, who is 11 years old and rocking an extra chromosome with a dash of autism. And I am living life my way. Did you ever wonder why you? Imagine having your first baby, an easy textbook pregnancy, and eagerly awaiting the arrival of your baby. But after he's born, the medical professionals suspect, but can't confirm he has Down syndrome. Today I'm talking with Stacey Hearn-Kane, and she waited in limbo for a week to find out that her son did indeed have Down syndrome. Stacey shares her story of receiving her son's diagnosis, feeling everything had ended, and thinking it just wasn't a possibility in their lives. However, Stacey shares how she came through that difficult time, that talking and sharing about Down syndrome is so natural now, and how a group of third graders showed her that she's got this and that Down syndrome is worth celebrating. Let's go have a listen. Today on the T21 Mom podcast, I'm talking with another rockin' mom, Stacey Hearn-Kane, who is going to share her diagnosis story. Welcome, Stacey.
Hi, good to be here, Mary.
Yeah, it's nice to see you again. So yeah. We met at, it was Washington, the Washington retreat, right?
Yes, it was Washington, yes.
And that was your first retreat. What did you think of it?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I loved being around people. We just got it. I was a little bit nervous because I'm not a person who just does things like that, who just picks up and goes. And I remember the first rockin' mom that I ran into in the hallway recognized me by my shirt, my getup, and just gave me a great big hug. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I belong. Like, these are my people. And you know, everybody I could talk to and relate to. It was so amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I do remember you were always very geared up. It was very definite that you were rocking mom because you had a lot of gear. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Everything I could. I even had the leggings.
Yes.
The
I remember
blue
those.
And yellow ribbons on them. Yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. Do you think you're going to be able to get away for another retreat?
I would like to, if it's in driving distance, I would love to go to another one. You know, if there's any rock and rolls out there who are the fence, definitely go. It's an awesome opportunity. Definitely highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am, of the same thought too. If you're able to go, like you said, you'll meet people who get you and understand you and you find your people.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Which is just so important. Now, I know one of the reasons why you couldn't go to last year's retreat, which was in San Antonio, not really driving distance from where you are. Like, yeah, tell us a little bit about you and your family and where you are.
Sure. So I live in rural Pennsylvania. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. I have been in education for 18 years. For 17 years, I was a third and then fourth grade teacher. And just this past summer, I accepted a as an elementary principal at our local school district. Mm-hmm. And I've been married to my husband since 2008, which is starting to get up there for sure. And we have three wonderful kiddos. Elliot's my oldest. He's the one rocking the chromosome. And then I have Emery, who is 8. And Elsie's our little girl, who is 5.
Oh, fantastic. So busy. Yeah. So Elliot is he 10?
He's 10. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you got a good gap between each of them. So that's makes it a little bit more manageable.
Times. Yeah. Yeah. Times.
But life is busy. My brother has 3 kids and, you know, you're almost out of the trenches.
Yeah. We're getting there. Yeah.
So now before you became a principal, as you mentioned, you were a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And had you ever taught a child with Down syndrome before?
No, I hadn't. Actually, so our school has kind of, because we're so rural, we have an interesting kind of makeup. A lot of our neighboring schools don't have enough students to make up their own life skills class. Mm-hmm. So we kind of divvy up responsibilities. You know, they go to one school from K to 2 and then to a neighboring school from 3 to 7, and then to another neighboring school from 8 to 12. So yeah, I never had the opportunity to teach an individual with Down syndrome.
Oh, that's, yeah, so interesting. So because you're in a small community, now that you've become a principal of an elementary school, do you feel a little bit more responsibility, I guess, about our kids with Down syndrome in school and the education system? Because I'm sure you're well aware there's a lot of challenges that parents and families face, mm-hmm. you know, with their kids with Down syndrome, to just get the education that they deserve. Lots mm-hmm. of parents want to be in the general education. Often there's a lot of pushback with that mm-hmm. in schools. But as a principal, do you feel, and I mean, I don't know how much control you actually have over that, but do you feel like a certain level of responsibility now that you yourself have a child with Down syndrome?
Oh, absolutely. So the building that I'm in now actually has the life skills class from K to 2. And we don't have any kiddos with Down syndrome yet. I know there's a couple coming and I'm so excited for them to come. But yeah, I do. And it's given me a very different perspective, I think, than maybe, you know, I would have had 20 years ago. But starting out my career, you know, I do feel a responsibility toward that. And I remember when I took this position, so many people told me, oh, you're going to have the life skills program's going to be, that's going to be tough for you. That's going to be a challenge. I kind of giggled. I said, that's my life. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to be a challenge. We'll do whatever we got to do to get our kiddos to where they need to be. And it's definitely given me a whole new perspective. And it's not just life skills kiddos and kiddos with intellectual disabilities. It's all kids, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a kiddo who has trouble reading or who's been through some trauma or, you know, just can't pay attention. You have to take, having Elliot has given me a whole new perspective on students and meeting them where they're at. There's no judging. There's no, oh, why can't you fit into this perfect little box of what we think a kid is? And, mm-hmm. you know, we do what we can and accommodate them for sure.
That's lovely. Like, I kind of thought that would sort of be your answer, but you're never really sure. And
yeah,
you know, I just hear about all these challenges that parents have. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's even locally, we have the same issues. You know, I've been mm-hmm. pretty fortunate with the school that Ainsley is at, which has been great, but mm-hmm. it almost like we want to have more rockin' moms in the school yeah. system to help, yeah. you know, kind of pave the way. So you're doing sure. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so Elliot is your oldest child. So obviously he was your first yes. pregnancy or yeah. first baby. And mm-hmm. like, what was your pregnancy like? Anything seemed off, or was it just seemed like a normal, typical pregnancy?
It was like a picture perfect pregnancy. I had zero issues at all. I ran, I think, 3 or 4 or 5K races while I was pregnant. And I ran until I was just 7, 8 months mm-hmm. along, and very little morning sickness. You know, I took the baby bunk pictures every week and, you know, looked up the size of my baby compared to fruit.
Yeah.
Like a lot of moms do. There was absolutely no indication. In fact, I remember the appointment where they went over, because I was in my late 20s, you know, hey, you can get this quad screening blood test, you know, it's up to you. Our insurance didn't cover it, and I wasn't at, you know, the advanced maternal age at the time. Mm-hmm. So I felt no need to get it. I thought, you know, there's no chance for anything to pop up. And I even remember our 20-week anatomy scan. I remember the tech pointed out a couple of things. Oh, this could be an indicator of Down syndrome, but oh, there's nothing there. So you're fine. And the only hiccup at the very end was I was measuring small. So we had to have, I think, 1 or 2 growth ultrasounds, and they mm-hmm. turned out fine. So nothing. Yeah. It was, yeah, I loved my first pregnancy. The other two were a little rougher because I had, you know, other kids to chase around while being pregnant. But, mm-hmm. you know, my pregnancy with Elliot was just super low key and easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so funny. Mine sounds like it was very similar to yours. Totally easy. I mean, Ainsley's my only child, but I was mm-hmm. running too at still at 7 months. Like, yeah, even the doctor was amazed that I had zero, absolutely zero complications. So it was fantastic. Oh. And I love being pregnant. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved my first pregnancy. Like I said, the other two were were a little bit harder, but the first one, you know, I loved my belly. I loved how yeah. I felt. I loved everything.
Oh, and well, and it is harder when you have other kids running around oh, yeah. and, you know, you're not always like, you know, super energetic when you're pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So as you mentioned, you didn't have any real prenatal screening. And although that tech kind of made a little mention, oh, that could be an indicator of Down syndrome. Did that, any of that linger in your mind at all throughout the rest of your pregnancy, or wasn't, it was just nothing?
No, like, no, there was, yeah, there was nothing. To, yeah. Like I said, we were pretty much clear and yeah, there was no worries at all. When I, yeah, when I went into labor and had him, I just, it, yeah, nothing at all.
Not expect anything. Because, no. And I think that's the same for all of us. You get pregnant, mm-hmm. you're not expecting.
Yeah.
You're only expecting, you know, to have the best outcome. Perfect.
Exactly.
46 chromosomes, healthy baby, yeah. no issues, right?
Yeah. It wasn't even on the radar, you yeah. know?
Just, yeah. yeah. Well, yeah, because mm-hmm. you had no indicators otherwise. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, and same with Ainsley. I did do a quad screen, which gave a slight, like her nuchal fold was a bit higher than normal. But even other post scans, they would never have known. Unless I had yeah. told them, because I know a lot of our kids, they have short, long bones and no nasal bone, but none of that was Ainsley, and probably obviously similar to Elliot. So you just don't know, right?
Yeah.
So you go into the hospital to have your baby, mm-hmm. maybe blissfully unaware of what's about to come.
Yeah, no idea. Yeah.
yeah. And so what happened after he was born?
So I went into labor on a Sunday night, had him Monday morning. My labor was pretty quick and easy. And you know, I got to hold him for a little bit. They took him away and did his physical, you know, and we think it was a labor nurse who actually pointed out, oh, like, hey, there's some signs of Down syndrome here. So the doctor came back in and said, I don't know what you know about Down syndrome. And from there, it kind of just, you know, our hearts just sank, like, okay, what does this mean? And mm-hmm. and I don't remember exactly what she said. There were the fact he was little. Mm-hmm. He was, what, 6 pounds, 9 ounces when he was born, just kind of shorter. His ears were small and he had the little gap between his toes. But even then, they didn't know for sure. She mm-hmm. said, I can't tell you for sure whether he does or not. We're going to have to do a blood test. And I remember in the week that we followed, we asked pretty much every medical professional we could what they thought. Like, hey, take a look at him. Do you think he does? And no one could tell us just mm-hmm. by looking at him. Mm-hmm. So we took him home. And even then, I don't think we would ask the doctors what they thought, but we didn't really think it could be possible. You know, it wasn't a possibility in our lives. And mm-hmm. and so he did have a little bit of a hard time gaining weight. Now, we got to take him home at the normal, you know, span of time. But so we'd had to take him back to the pediatrician for weigh-ins. And every time we went that week, you might ask the doctor what he thought, if he thought there was any indication. He said, well, I don't know. I'll wait for the blood test to come back. And it was after one of those visits, we must have been the last appointment before the doctor's lunch. And we did our weigh-in. He talked to us. We asked our usual questions. And, you know, he said, I don't know for sure. We'll have to wait for the results to come back. He was probably really annoyed with us by then. Mm-hmm. But we were not. Maybe a mile down the road before he called my cell phone, and he must have gone and checked his messages during his lunchtime. And he said that the results were in, and the test came back that Elliot had Down syndrome. So I remember it just felt like the whole world fell apart. And I kind of laughed. Now I was sitting in the back seat with Elliot because I don't know. We thought that I had to sit in the back seat with him as a newborn because he would get up and walk away. I don't know, but
yeah,
But I looked at him, how can this be? And my husband kind of shouted back to me, hey, ask if we can go back. And so he turned the car around, we went back, and the doctor spoke to us a little bit. He mentioned about seeing a cardiologist, mm-hmm. seeing our local Down syndrome clinic, and we went through all of these things, and it was so overwhelming at the time. And it wasn't a terrible diagnosis story, and there are worse. I don't know if I would have been ready for somebody to be all gung-ho and rainbows and like that. I don't know if I would have been ready for that yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he went through everything that we would need to do. And I remember afterwards, we had to get some things from Walmart. And I said, I don't want to go in there. I don't think I can. Like, how can? And he said, you need to get some things. You know, you have to go pick some things up. And I walked through the store and I looked at everybody just, how can you keep walking? Like, life is normal. This isn't normal. And I felt like everything had ended. And that's mm-hmm. something that still resonates with me, mm-hmm. just how I'd gone through something so horrible and everybody else's life was going on just fine. And we came home, we told our immediate family, and we told them, and we told my in-laws, and we told my dad in person. And, you know, I made a couple of phone calls, and I think after a certain point, I just couldn't say it anymore. So, mm-hmm. you know, some more immediate family and close friends I would text, because it was just so hard to process still. But, you know, they really stood by us, and mm-hmm. and they, you know, they still loved Elliot despite everything. They would come and tell us how adorable he was, mm-hmm. and they still played their part. And also, through a really weird coincidence, there was a cancellation at our local Down syndrome clinic just a few days after we had the diagnosis. I want to say Elliot was about a week and a half old. And so we could get in and see them. And remember the moment we walked in the door, people were so positive. Mm-hmm. They fawned over him. He was a little 11-day old baby. Of course, he was adorable. But they just, oh my gosh, he is so cute. Everyone, you know, flocked to him. And when we met with the doctor, he was just so positive. He talked about how he himself had a brother with Down syndrome and how that affected him. And you know, it was like, okay, this is going to be okay. You know, we can get through this. And that was a good thing to have that positive start out with. Yeah.
Of course. So was it the nurse then that first told you in the hospital, or how did you learn of the possibility that he might have Down syndrome? Was it from the nurse, or like, did you just overhear the nurse, or did that happen?
It was the pediatrician told us, but it kind of got back to us through a rumor that as they were doing the exam, it was a nurse who first mm-hmm. kind of picked up on those little subtle signs. And without that, I don't know if we would have known, because he just didn't really have any strong markers as a newborn, for sure.
Very interesting, because I mean, the doctor, I guess, they don't want to say either way, right, until they know definitively at that point. He's about how many days old was he? About 5 days that you found out?
He was a week old. He was exactly 1 week when we found out for sure.
So what was it like kind of living in that limbo? Did you tell anybody at that point that there was a possibility, or did you just keep that between you and your husband? Because it can mm-hmm. kind of be like a dark hole.
Yeah, we just kept it between the two of us, my husband and I. We just mm-hmm. agreed that we didn't really want to share it with family and talk about it and go over it if we didn't know one way or the other. And even, I don't even think we really talked about it a whole lot between the two of us, because we just felt like it wasn't a possibility. Like it wasn't, you know, if we didn't have the answer, we didn't want to go gung-ho one way or the other, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, because you were young and probably your odds were probably, I don't know, 1 in 10,000 or whatever. And I remember when I was pregnant, I was a lot older, but, you know, I had a 69% chance. And I remember specifically telling my sister-in-law, because she asked, are you worried? And I said, no, not really. Someone's in that 69%. You just hope it's not you. And, you know, in your case, probably one in 10,000. I don't know what the odds are, but probably pretty slim. And you were that one.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. And I remember for a while, I kept on asking myself, why am I that one? You know, as a teacher, unfortunately, you see lots of parents who don't have good parenting skills. And I'm thinking, here you were given this beautiful, perfect baby. And why didn't you get this? You know, why don't you have issues? Why is it me? And there were, I definitely went through that period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that would be hard, I would imagine, just waiting for those 7 days to find out the actual results. Because I'm sure you were looking for any possible sign or indicator that would say, oh, yeah, he definitely has Down syndrome, or no, he definitely doesn't. You know, because I'm sure
we
all go through that.
For sure. Yeah.
So you go from being in limbo to getting confirmation of his diagnosis. So you kind of touched on it, but what was that like? Like, now your whole world has changed.
Yeah, it was really hard the first couple of months. You know, thankfully, my husband is incredible and we have wonderful family and our community was great, but it was really hard, you know, again, asking, you know, why me? Like, you know, why was I chosen? I'm not really that incredible of a person, you know. I would say the first 2 to 3 months were very hard. And thankfully, I was lucky. Elliot really didn't have major health issues. He came home in a normal time period. He had a LEPA and MVSD that closed on its own. He still has a minor heart defect and nothing that needed hospitalized. We just go to the cardiologist every couple of years and they take their picture and they say he's good. But and he had a little bit of trouble feeding, but nothing that required anything crazy. But it was still hard. You know, it was really hard because it's not the journey you thought you were going to have. And learning to accept that takes some time. And then I felt bad because here I am crying about my kid, but I still have a kid. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he's a great kid, but it's still upsetting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of mixed emotions and hard things to deal with.
Oh, 100%. I'm sure everyone can understand, like, you know, who is on the same path can understand that it takes time to, I guess, come to the realization. I don't know if that's the right word, but of the diagnosis and that this is our new kind of path in life and trying to figure that out. Because, we're all thinking we're on this one road, but there's a bit of a fork and we are on the other road. And it can definitely be hard. And so you kind of mentioned that you just told people via text. And I don't know. I remember I emailed my family, which today horrifies me that I did that.
I know.
I mean, probably thinking back now, I mean, it's 10 years, but I mean, and I totally can understand that, why you did that. I mean, you probably think now you could have done it differently. I don't know, but that's what I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could have, but it was so hard for the longest time to speak those words, to say those words.
Mm-hmm.
And typing was a lot easier.
Yeah.
And now today I'll just, you know, like I'm, you know, getting ready to go to a conference. And if I have to introduce myself, I'm probably going to talk about my 10-year-old kid with Down syndrome and it just will come out like nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to go through that journey.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We all have to go through it, and we do. We come out on the other side, right?
Yeah.
I mean, usually at the time, we don't think there's another side. It can be a pretty dark period for most. I just recently talked with one woman, and before she even got pregnant, she had a vision. It was very overpowering that she was going to have a girl and she was going to have Down syndrome. And everyone thought she was crazy, but that's exactly what happened. And so she was kind of a bit more prepared. That's not the case for most of us. You know, we're finding out, you know, either prenatally or at birth. And I think we all have to go through that, that journey really of the grief to adjust to our new normal, really is what it is just something a bit different than what we were expecting. And, but we figure out a way. Like you said, you just rolls off your tongue. It's not a big deal. And and I too had similar, like, I was really self-conscious when I took her out in the first probably 6 or so months of people looking at us. And, you know, and I didn't really ever actively announce that she had Down syndrome, but I know that you kind of like, so what happened your first, the first World Down Syndrome Day?
So I decided, so my close friends, my close coworkers knew about Elliot's diagnosis. And I guess I made it Facebook official on our first World Down Syndrome Day and shared it with, you know, my wider base of friends and just said, hey, here's my kid. And I think by then I was feeling better. I was feeling like, okay, like we've got this. He's a pretty cool kid. He was smiling. He was giggling by then. And I shared it with, you know, our wider community, and the support I got was so overwhelming. Just people, you know, oh my gosh, like he's great. And thank you so much for sharing him with us, and the appreciation. And I think that they appreciated the journey that I went through too. I think that they understood how hard it was and how hard it was for me. How long it took me to get to that point. You know, it was so wonderful to finally be like, okay, here we are. this is where we are. This is who I am as a mom. This is who I'm going to be as your friend now, as your colleague, as, you know, your neighbor down the street. This is our family. And that was a relief. I think that was just like okay. Now everybody knows. I knew that no one was going to be cruel or mean or shy away from us, but just the positivity that we got from that was so assuring to us.
Wow. So I guess it was kind of cathartic in a way to make that announcement. Were you nervous initially, to hit send?
Yeah, I think that I probably typed up like 20 drafts and hovered over send for several times, and then finally, like, okay, let's just do it. And yeah, like I said, the celebration of him, and it was nice that it came on World Down Syndrome Day. That was meaningful to me as our first time to celebrate, and I think that our community appreciated the meaning of that day as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. So about how old was he at that point?
He was 6 months old.
6 months. Oh, nice.
I think shared with everybody. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, but something really cool happened the following year on World Down Syndrome Day. Can you share about that? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So I kind of knew where our story and our diagnosis went, like with me as a mom and me as a community member and with our friends and our family. But, you know, when I went back to work, I wasn't quite sure how to share this with my students and what this meant to me being a teacher, and I'm a teacher in my community. I didn't know how to approach it. So yeah, I taught for 2 months, didn't tell those students, and then had the summer with Elliot and went back to work the following fall. And I had such an awesome group of kids the following year. So I put up little mini pictures of Elliot. He was turning one that September, so he was almost one, still little, but you know, the kids would, they just adored him. They didn't know he had Down syndrome, but they're like, oh my gosh, he is so cute. They bought, the kid bought him birthday presents. They didn't buy him birthday presents, but one birthday present, the Christmas presents. And they always asked about him. And about that January, I thought, you know what, I'm meant to share his story. Those kids inspired me to share about him. And I remember I bought a couple of books to read them. I taught third grade at the time, and I had the books in my hand, and I called them up on our carpet, and I had them sit down, and said, all right, guys, so you know Elliot, I know how much you guys love him and you ask questions about him. I think he's so cute, but Elliot's a little bit different. So I read them, I believe it was 21 Strings.
Mm-hmm.
So I read it to them and at the very end I said, so Elliot has Down syndrome, just like the girl in the story. And they asked, I said, do you guys have any questions? And they have such a good, thoughtful questions. I don't know what I was expecting. I didn't know if these kids were not mean kids, but there's always that fear. But they were so thoughtful and asked if I knew that he was going to have Down syndrome. And one of the kids asked, and at that point, I had never thought about it. So why is it called Down syndrome when there's something extra? That's a great question. Mm-hmm. So it prompted actually us to research Down syndrome. So we learned that it was named after Dr. Down, and we learned, you know, what causes it, you know, the chromosomes. And then we started looking into stories of adults with Down syndrome who were experiencing success. So there was a man at that point who had ran the New York Marathon. So we watched his story, and we watched Chelsea Warner, the gymnast, we watched her story, and they loved it. They loved hearing about these people and their successes and their overcoming of obstacles. So I did a writing assignment about Down syndrome and the successes people can find in their lives. And they were so excited to share. They wanted to share with their classmates, with the other third grade classes. So I asked one of my fellow teachers, I said, hey, all my kids really want to share their writings. Can we just come to your room and maybe, you know, just have them read them to you? And she said, why stop there? Let's take them to the auditorium. They can read in front of the entire third grade. So we planned it. We planned a crazy sock day for World Down Syndrome Day. And we came up with a presentation and we had videos. And at the very end, but it took so much bravery for those kids to stand up in front of their peers in an auditorium with a microphone and speak the way that they did, advocate the way that they did. And I even had two kids who was running the whole slideshow. They had a tech team. And at the very end, we played the song Happy, and the kids ran up and down the aisles giving their friends high fives. And I think of that as the end of my diagnosis story, because it was the first time I was truly like, oh my gosh, this is something we can celebrate. Like, look at these kids. They're dancing and high-fiving because of Down syndrome. This was something that a year and a half ago I thought was going to end everything. And here these kids are celebrating. But this is going to be okay. Like, we've got this. And it's all because of that awesome group of kids. They're now seniors in high school. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that is fantastic. And I'm sure they will remember that. You know,
that's what I'm told. Yeah, they remember. I have one in particular. Every single time he sees me, he asks me about Elliot.
Aww.
And when I tell him how old he is, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm getting old. And I'm just, aren't there yet, buddy?
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so fantastic. Like, it's like you're coming out at that point, you know?
The puzzle, the missing piece was how it was going to be for me as a teacher. You know, I didn't know, I didn't have to share with my students about him, but I also think that that would have sent a message. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they were going to find out. They were going to know that he had Down syndrome, and me not talking about it, I think, sends a stronger message saying, oh, this isn't something I want to share. This is something to hide. And those kids and their kindness really gave me the courage to say, hey, do you know what? Here's Elliot, and he is who he is, and we're going to celebrate him.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, since having Elliot, because you mentioned at the beginning that you have three kids, and Elliot's your oldest.
Yeah.
So what was it like in your subsequent pregnancies? Were you nervous, scared? Did you do testing? I mean, it can be a little bit... Mm-hmm. worrisome, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And that was one of the first questions we asked our doctor at the Down syndrome clinic when Ellie was a week and a half old. It was, what are our odds of having another child with Down syndrome? And he said, roughly 1 in 100. And he said, in all of his years, in the clinic, he had only ever seen, I think, one or two families mm-hmm. who had two biological children. Now, he told us several people end up adopting more children mm-hmm. with Down syndrome. You know, it was something kind of in the back of our minds. And we decided that we would pursue further testing with their other two pregnancies. Not so much, you know, I didn't want another surprise mm-hmm. that we dealt with Elliot's diagnosis fine. And you know, I'm glad that it happened that way. Mm-hmm. But I think that with my subsequent pregnancies, I could have handled the prenatal news. You know, we could have handled it. With Elliot, I don't know if I could have. I'm glad that we didn't pursue the testing with him. But the other two, we just said it wasn't anything invasive. It was the NIPTY test, the blood test. Mm-hmm. And both of them came back clear. And we got to find out the sex of our babies early. So that was kind of a fun little, you know, at the time, mm-hmm. early little gift too. But it just gave us some extra assurance. Mm-hmm.
So I think you kind of answered it. My next question was, do you think it was better to have a birth or kind of like a little bit of a post-birth diagnosis or than a prenatal diagnosis?
Yeah, for us, I am glad it happened the way it did because I loved my pregnancy and there was no worries. I had nothing to keep me up at night, you know, nothing to worry about. And it's interesting though, when I talk to other people, whatever, it seems like whatever their story is, they're happy with that's how it was. I think that's so mm-hmm. interesting. Yeah.
That is exactly what I have found. There's only been one person who is not quite sure, but every mm-hmm. other person that I have ever asked over the years, it's always been how they got it. Like, I know I wouldn't have done well with a birth diagnosis.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It was better for me to prepare and, mm-hmm. you know, and then get used to it. And so, mm-hmm. and like you, it was still a celebration, you know, when she was born, but there were no surprises because the doctors were all prepared. And then yours was a little bit different after he was born, you know, so. Yeah, it's interesting that pretty much everyone, like you said, it's how they got it is their preferred way of receiving that news. So I always find that interesting.
Yeah, I think it's just part of our journey. Like I, mm-hmm. you know, when I decided to apply to be the elementary principal, when I kind of took the jump, I had to do a lot of reflecting on my life and how I ended up where I was. And a big part of that was going through my journey with Elliot and kind of learning that, you know, when things are hard or when life gets you down, you have to find a way to get back up. And even mm-hmm. those things that get you down can be worth celebrating. You mm-hmm. have to keep that in perspective for sure.
Most definitely. Yeah. What advice would you give someone who has just found out either prenatally or at birth that their child has Down syndrome?
I think it's important to give yourself grace. Whatever you feel is how you're supposed to be feeling. There's no right or wrong emotion. You can't force yourself to feel that way. You have to go through that journey and it's going to be your journey. And whether you're totally chill with it and ready to jump in and rock the crazy socks on Roll Down Syndrome Day, or if it takes you a couple years and you have to fight through and figure out who you are, that's how it's supposed to be. And, you know, it might not feel like it right now, but one day you're going to wake up and Down syndrome won't be the first thing on your mind. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it will get better. You know, mm-hmm. let yourself feel and heal how you need to and, you know, do what you have to do to get yourself to a good place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's, I feel that too. You will eventually come out on the other side. Some people it's shorter, some people it takes longer,
but absolutely,
you will get there. And you sort of touched on it a little bit, but how do you think having Elliot and his extra chromosome has changed you?
Wow, he's just made me such a more patient and open person. You know, when I go into a situation, I try not to have my mind made up. I try to be open and try to see what can be. And he's helped me to see I guess, the beauty in life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to look for the positives. And like I said, even when things are hard and life gets me down, I remember my growth with him and think, okay, we can get through this. It's okay. You know, and when I encounter kids, I take just such a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I think back to a big part of my growth with Elliot were his early therapists. They never went in and said, oh, we can't roll over. We're just forget about it. They would say, okay, what can he do? Okay, he can reach over. So we're going to start there and we're going to work with him. So that's kind of changed my perspective as a parent and as an educator to see what kids can do and to see the good in kids and to see the good in people.
Oh, that's fantastic. And
yeah,
I love hearing that, that it's also kind of helped shape you in your professional life, not just your personal life, but your professional life. Yeah. And I think that's really important for parents, you know, especially for parents like ourselves who have a kid with Down syndrome or maybe some other kind of special needs. I don't know what the right term is anymore.
Yeah.
Differently abled. That there's teachers and educators out there who understand our path and, you know, they want to see our kids succeed and be successful, you know, because it's just so important. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah. Stacey, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story. And I hope I see you again at a retreat.
Yeah.
This year it's in Vegas.
Yeah, I would love to go, but I think that that's, you know, like a million hour drive from Pennsylvania.
There are planes.
That's true. Yeah, one day I will be back. Yes. But thank you so much for having me and letting me share my story and my community story, my family story.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
I was so happy to chat with Stacey and share her story. We originally connected through the podcast, and then we met at the retreat. She admits her diagnosis story is not that bad, but that doesn't mean you still don't have grief and you still need that time to work through it. I love that she's now a principal because we need people like that in our corner, especially through the IEPs and all the school stuff, because it can be hard. And it's great to have someone like her in your corner who gets it. And isn't it pretty awesome that most of her lessons on navigating this journey came from third graders? I think that is something that we can all learn from. And I like the third grader's thought process. Why is it called Down syndrome when there's something extra? Thanks for listening to the T21 Mom podcast. And if you would like to share your diagnosis story, drop me a line at t21mom.com, or you can even leave a little voicemail or just say hi. I hope you're enjoying these diagnosis stories as much as I am. Keep on loving on your rocking kiddos, and I'll see you next time. You know.